I want you to know that this stuff is real. I want y'all to know that this is real. God is real. And not only is God real, but his power is amazing. Amen. And so in the movie, Mr. Holland's Opus, I don't know if you guys ever watched that movie. The movie's about a frustrated composer in Portland, Oregon, who takes the job, thank you, ushers, who takes the job as a high school teacher in the 1960s. Richard Dreyfuss, who wanted to be a master composer, did not really live up to what he wanted because he just didn't get the breakthrough that he really wanted. Mr. Holland recognized that in his dream of leaving a lasting musical legacy was just merely a dream. At the end of the movie, we find that the age Mr. Hollis, what he did is he worked in this high school, on top of the stuff that he had going on in life. He had a deaf son, the pressures of money and finances. And at the end of the movie, though, we find an aged Mr. Hollis fighting in vain to keep his job, the very thing that he invested his life in. And what began as a career detour became a 30-year mission of pouring his heart into the lives of young people. While Mr. Hollis wanted the stage, there was another plan for his life. He was going back to his office to retrieve his stuff, and he was getting ready to go, and to his amazement, he heard a sound. He was the only one in there in the school, in the auditorium, and he walked in, and the banner read, "Goodbye, Mr. Holland." Those in attendance greeted Mr. Holland with standing ovation while the band was performing of former students who came back, amen, to play his songs that they had learned while under his teaching. His wife was on the stage, and they had a little small talk, and then the governor of Oregon arrives, and the governor is none other than a student of Mr. Holland. And she said, "Mr. Holland, you helped me to believe in myself." In the first year of teaching, as she addressed the rooms of well-wishers, she spoke of the hundreds who filled the auditorium, and she said this, she said, "Mr. Holland, you've had a profound influence on my life. And if you look around, you can see all the lives that you have touched." You see, while Mr. Holland wanted to be on the stage in the symphony and making money and becoming rich, the seeds that he sown in the lives of these students went further than anything he could ever do with his life. What I'm saying tonight is that the seeds you sow, come on, help me somebody, it will grow. And it's important that we learn from that story alone that investing is important. You may not see it at the beginning, but believe that when you sow something into someone and you sow something into the kingdom of God, it has to grow. It will grow. Now, we've been talking about strapped. In this series, Strapped, we're talking about why am I always strapped? And we talked about the principle of money management. We are at the point now where we're talking about investing. And last week I told you that sometimes we as Christians begin to feel sorry for ourselves because of all the supposedly desired things and relationships we thought we've given up for God. And it seems like we're not getting anything in return. Come on, help me, somebody. Jesus, with his disciples in Matthew 10:28, talks about this. Jesus said to them in Mark 10:28, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake. Amen. And for the sake of the gospel, but that he will receive 100 times as much. Can I help you with something? You invested time coming here tonight. And I want to say to somebody here, every time you make a decision that you're going to head to Kiwani Street and you're going to walk through the doors of God's church, that is an investment. And if you ever pay attention, the moment that the devil tells you don't come, that's the time you need to run here, because that's exactly what you need for that day. Here's what I'm saying to you. God says, I will give you back 100 times more. And tonight I believe that you can get that 100 times more, because guess what? You can get it in wisdom. You can get it in knowledge and understanding from God's word. Unfortunately, the prosperity theology has messed up this passage that we started with on last week. Let's go there to Luke chapter 6. And we're talking about the it theology. Luke chapter 6 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And it is in the context of learning how to forgive. It is in the context of understanding that Jesus has already given us the Beatitudes. He has chosen the 12, and now he says, give, return on investment series. He says, give and what? It. Last week I told you the it theology has to do, amen, with the source. I told you that when you invest, you must understand that God is the ultimate source. Amen. God is the source of everything that happens. God is the resource giver. You and I are just the channels. Do I have anybody? And I told you that when you go to the grocery store and to buy food, the grocery store is not the source. Come on, help me, somebody. Amen. They're not the source. They're not the source. As a matter of fact, they're simply a channel to get you to where God, to get what you want, right? Now, he says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, what does it say? It says, is that right? 28? No, not 28. 38, right? Right. He says, give and it will be what? Given. So I told you the first thing you need to know is the source. Second thing I told you is the principle of the seed. Principle of the seed. Does everybody understand what I mean by the principle of the seed? Someone asked me the other day, they said, does the stuff in the Old Testament, like getting tattoos and piercing all over your body and all that kind of stuff, you know, because the Old Testament does speak about that, right? Do y'all know that? It does speak about that. And so, but this generation don't think that. But so, but anyways, he says that person asked, so does it still apply? I said, well, here's the thing. It the law does not apply, but the principle of the law. Right? So when Jeremiah told the people of Israel that they were going to Babylon for 70 years of captivity, this is what he says. Y'all, this is y'all favorite passage, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a future and a hope, right? To give you, you know, blessings and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing I need you to know about this. The thing you need to understand about that is that they were getting ready to go into Babylon for 70 long, hard years, okay, of slavery. But God says, I have a plan for you. Now, the principle of that statement does apply today. Because when God formed you, Psalm 139, in your mother's womb, you already had a purpose and a plan. And so, yes, context is very important to Scripture, but so is principle. Are y'all following me on this? All right, so I want you to look at something now. We talked about sowing last week, right? We talked about the principle of seed. I want you to go to Genesis 1. I know, this is Bible study. I almost thought I was preaching tonight. I don't know what happened. I got to change gears here. Genesis 1, verse 12. And what does it say there? I still like to turn the pages. For some reason I like the app and all that. But every now and then I like to put my hands on the pages. Something about putting your hands on the pages. Genesis 1, verse 12. And look what it says, though. It says what? The earth brought forth what? Okay, and what? Plants yielding what? Plants yielding seed. Plants yielding what? Who initially planted the first seed, though? Where did it come from? God created it, right? He planted the first seed. But here's what God has, how wise God is. God knew if I take this one seed and I plant it, that seed will live forever. Because inside of that seed, there's about 10 to 20 other seeds. Now, some seeds may not be as fertile as the others. Some may lack nutrition or whatever it may be, or some are just not going to make it. Come on, help me, somebody. All right? Now, watch where I'm going with this, right? So God knew what he was doing. So what's the difference between us? Can I ask you a question? What type of seed are you producing? See, what we want as believers at times, we want to receive the fruits. Because we don't think back to that Mark chapter 10 that if we sow the seed, we will get something back in return. And that is a lack of faith in the God, watch this, who puts the seed in you. And he says, I can't get back from you what I put in you. You know why some of us are just living average? It's because we're just averagely giving. We're averagely sowing. I'm saying we're just hitting and missing. This is the principle that's true. And the principle in God's word rings true because it's backed by Scripture. Watch what he says. He says, seeds after their kinds, tree and trees bearing fruit with seed what? In them, watch this, after their kind, and God saw it. Don't miss the it. God saw what? It was good. And so we know now with the principle of seed that the way God created life, God created life to work. And how he created life to work, he says, God doesn't need anything, first of all. But God wants to know, as a tree in my garden, I expect fruit. Come on, help me, somebody. I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to give you a promotion. I'm going to upgrade your living conditions. I'm going to do all that for you, but what I expect back from you is that you return a portion of that seed. Are you following me? And so, last week we went here and we looked at it. Luke chapter 38 now. Let's see. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Let's slide on back there. All right? Because we got to get to the next part of this verse. All right? I used an illustration last week. Remember Farmer Brown? He's serious about, you know, about his 10 acres of land. And he goes out. Watch this. Every day he prays. God, I need you to bless my farm. All right? God, I need you to, you know, do this for me. So guess what? I'm serious about my need. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to show up at church today. I'm going to be faithful to Bible study. I'm going to pray every night. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sing in the choir. You know what I mean? I'm committed, God. I'm committed. See how committed I am, Lord? But let's just say Farmer Brown is serious. Very serious about God. Meeting his need. How many been praying for something? Now I'm talking about you really praying for something. But what if we found out that Farmer Brown never bothered to plant any seeds? But yet, he's cleared the land. He's got everything ready. Do you think he will reap anything? No. Because all of his efforts would be a waste of time because he's asking God to meet a need without planting a seed. I would say it one more time. He's asking God to meet a need without planting a seed. Tell your neighbor the principle of seed. Now remember the principle back from Genesis 1:12, right? What God is going to do for us is not just meet our need, but also he's going to multiply the seed. But God requires something. What does he require? Plant the seed. Can I tell you why it's important for us to be seed planters? Because God created the ground. Come on, somebody. That the seed will be planted in. God sends the rain. You don't know. You don't know whether today or tomorrow what you plant. Some of you, I stood here last week and I stepped off the ledge, man. I'm like Peter in the boat. I walked out on that water, man. I said, Lord, I'm not going to turn around, Lord. I already opened my mouth and I ain't gonna backtrack what I said. But I said to some of you, I said, expect your seed. Expect what God has for you tomorrow, today, in that moment. And the good news I heard today when I opened up church is that God made good on his word. Some of you got jobs. Some of you got good health reports. When I look in the back of your envelope that you wrote your need, remember I said if you have a need, write it out. Some of you came up here with a blank envelope. I said, put your need on the back there for me because I want to be specific. I want to be pacific with God. Little kids say, pacific. Amen. All right. So God sends the rain. He sends the sunshine. And look, he makes the crop grow. Do you know how long I've been waiting for you to sow your seeds by faith so that you can really see God work in your life? This has nothing to do with prosperity. This has everything to do with your faith in God. I want you to understand the seed principle because it shows how God, watch this, how God wants, write this down in your notes, how God wants to meet my need. Assuming that you're willing to do something with your seed. No farmer eats everything. And last week we looked at the woman of Zarephath. You remember that? Remember we went to 1 Kings chapter 17. I know we did it at the end of the study. But 1 Kings chapter 17 suggests to us that the woman was a widow. Now watch this. This is the thing I showed you last week, right? She's a widow in need. See, this is what I want to talk to you people who talk about you got a fixed income. I want to know who fixed it, number one. Number two, I want to ask this question, okay? Here's the thing. Do you think God is limited in what he can do? And if your answer is no, then you have to trust God even more. Now watch this. God always presents opportunities. This woman was about to die. She had some flour and some oil. The creditors were at the door. But I find it very interesting that God took the pastor preacher and was feeding him by the brook. But watch this. God used a raven. Do you know that God can change the biology of anything? The makeup, the DNA of anything? God takes a raven. Do y'all understand what a raven is? Or who a raven is? Or what the quality of a raven is? Well, if you didn't go study it on YouTube, let me give you a little insight. A raven is the most stingy. Okay, listen to me real good now. Now, tight. Okay, like some of us. Real tight. Okay, and I'm talking about besides being foul and selfish. Are y'all following me here? Go there. Let's go. Let me just show you something real quick, being that I'm here already. 1 Kings 17. I don't know where I get all this energy from it. It's the Holy Ghost, got to be. but I get excited about the word. I get excited about God's word. God's word is powerful, y'all. It's so powerful thing, you know. Let's look at verse 1. Let's look at 17, verse 1. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now, here's the thing. Israel was tripping. And here's a man with a prayer life. Elijah the prophet prayed that there would be no rain. Now, he caused problems. So he's now on the run. Jezebel was out to kill him. Okay? And he was running. He was like, man. So verse 3 says, go away from here. Turn east. So I'm sorry. Verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him saying, now watch this. It's amazing. Whenever you hear a word, whenever you come to church, listen for what God is saying to you. Don't move until you hear a word from the Lord. Did the Lord tell you that? Validated by his word, not just on your emotion. Look what he says. Go away from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall, notice he said, by the brook. Now you got to understand that even that theology is deep. You know what a brook is, right? It's not an ocean. Come on, help me, somebody. It's not a puddle. But you got to understand the theology of the brook. The brook is where God feeds, where God provides for his sheep. Come on, help me, somebody. A brook is where you have a constant flow. Now, you got to understand about the brook theology. Is this, it's not permanent. God sends him here, changes the current of the waters. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. He can bathe. He can boil water. He can drink. He's sustained. The word of the Lord comes and tells him, get away from here. Go to a place where I've already prepared for you. And right where you are, I'll take care of you. See, the problem with us is the reason why sometimes we won't sow is because we don't trust that God will lead us to the right place. I imagine how better some of us could be doing. And I'm talking about excess. I'm talking about surplus. I'm talking about positive, positive. I'm talking about overflow, positive. See, I'm not satisfied with just living on enough. Because the God I serve has the supply. Do I have anybody? So watch the text. Watch the text with me. He says, go there, and you will drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to do what? To do what? This is meals on wheels. This is meals by drone. Come on, help me, somebody. Amazon ain't the only one that started drones. God changes the DNA of the most stubborn, stingiest animal on planet Earth to feed the man of God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Isn't that awesome? I remember being so far away from God. And yet even being far away from God, God still provided for me. It seems like whenever I came to the point where I lost everything and I just couldn't find my way in life, God would always put a raven in my path to take me in. I can't tell you how many times I was homeless, how many times I was abandoned, how many times I had to fend for myself. Yeah, I said fend. But yet God had a raven around. And I wasn't even planting nothing then. But yet God takes care of us. And so often we worry, we spend too much time. This is the 10th of the month. You settle down a little bit. All that nerves is gone. It's the last day to pay without a penalty. But yet, God has provided. Oh, don't take for granted you can pay your mortgage, y'all. Okay? Because tomorrow it can change. Life can change. But see, what I found out about people who live like that, they have no credit backup. They have no seeds in the ground. So they just get enough. That's why they live in worry, because they have not planted anything. The principle of what? Seed. Watch this. And when I say that, here's what I'm talking about. Helping someone. Seeing a need and meeting the need. hearing about someone who is struggling and saying, you know what, I'm going to try my best to help them. You understand? That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Okay? Now, look. I just wanted to kind of show you here. Now, look what the text says. The text says, and so he went and did according to the word of God. That's his first plus sign right there. Do what God tells you to do, man. Look what he says. He did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him what? Bread. I'm talking about a meal here. We ain't just talking about, see, this is the thing about God, you know. He know what kind of meat you like. He know whether you like dark meat or white meat. He know whether you like the ribs or the butt or whatever. He knows what you like. He knows if you're vegan too. He knows if you want a smoothie, he'll get you one. Look at this. This is an amazing passage. He says, he brought him bread and meat in the morning. Watch this. Bread and meat in the what? Wait a minute. What did he eat for lunch? And he would drink from the what? So when the Bible says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, it means that God can do whatever he wants to do. But see, here's the thing, saints, God ain't just doing it. So don't think he's just doing it because you manifested it. Or you spoke it. The woman who was in the treasury. Y'all remember that? You Bible readers in here. You remember the woman in the treasury? Everybody was walking in, right? She had her widow's mite. Right? Everybody's walking in. So Jesus is getting ready to die here. He's... This woman is interesting to me because check this out. While everybody was flaunting in the treasury, giving their offering, they were walking in there, man. They were throwing big dollars down. This poor woman, as a matter of fact, the Bible says she was a poor woman, right? And Jesus took notice. The Bible says that Jesus took notice of her. Why? Now, what? When you're a big giver, when you these Pharisees and said they were walking in there, they were bow, they were dropping thousands. Now, you got to understand that when she dropped what she had, it was in a tin can, per se. And so as she dropped it in there, it went clink, 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 clunk, 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 boom. The noise alone caught the attention of everyone there. Pay attention. And Jesus said, this woman's gift is more than anyone has given. Why? Not just because it made noise, but it was because it was her last. The widow woman, after Elijah leaves here, and a raven and a brook fed him and took care of him. See, the idea of the brook and the raven shows God's hands. And the theology behind that is God's sovereignty. If you look at the word sovereignty, you'll see the word reign up in there. In other words, he reigns over everything. God can change the mind of anybody. He can. He really can. He can. He really can. He can take your enemies and make them your best friend. That's why in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, don't trip about your enemies. Pray for them. Stop holding on to all this junk in your heart, because it is actually hindering your it. It. Give an it. You get it? The woman leave. Elijah leaves there and goes to the widow woman. And now God says, wait a minute. You ever notice this about God? He always wants your last. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. He wants to see, will you give it? I never forget the days I've left church. My first guy said, and my hand was tight and my pockets. And I heard this man talking about give. Well, that's you. I need gas money. You talking about I got to get to work. Yesterday I drove home on an empty tank. I said, boy, now I see what it feel like. Man, listen, the light didn't come on, but I was praying the whole way. I said, I got to put a special prayer in now, Lord, because I was lazy. I didn't feel like pulling over and getting gas. See, there's a difference when you don't have money. But when you do have money to get gas, but you choose not to get. Now, if I would have broke down, that would have been on me. But here's what I'm saying. But I was thinking on the way. I said, man, how many people are living like that? Where they just don't have it. But watch this. But I know God can supply it. I know that God will not allow you and I to live like that if we steward what he gives us. See, this is about choices. And so when we get back to Luke chapter 6, let's go there real quick because I got about 3 minutes. Luke chapter 6. I got caught back up on that woman about the brook. All right? Luke chapter 6. Now remember, so you have the principle of what? Seed, right? We have God is the source. And so you may want to write this down. Now you have the function of faith. Now we're in a series on faith. And faith is acting like God is telling the truth. It is not feeling, it's not a feeling, it's a function. So when you come to God with your need, watch this, he's waiting to hear what seed are you willing to plant? His question is, what are you planting that you want me to grow and develop? Lord have mercy. Mr. Holland, sow the seed. Did not know this lady would become the governor. Are you following me? So if you want to be forgiven, for instance, sow forgiveness. If you need love, sow love. Come on, help me, somebody. If you need happiness, sow happiness. You understand what I'm saying? If you want peace, sow peace. That's the context to this passage that Jesus is saying. Listen, look what he says. He says, give and it will be what? Given. Now, the next thing, not only is the function of faith, but write this down. God's abundant giving. When you exercise your faith and sow the seed for the need, God shows off. And he shows up in abundance. Let's look at it again. Give and it will be given. Is that what it's saying? Yeah. It will be given to you. See? You can't expect something if you ain't given nothing. Okay? I don't ever come to church empty-handed. Wish I would. And it's not just because, oh, it's empty. No, it's because it's a principle that works. Now, look what he says next. He says, they. Who's the they? Huh? No. Look what it says. Give and it will be given, and they will pour into your lap. They. Who's the they? Who are the they? You ready? They are whoever God chooses to meet your need. I'm going to say it one more time. They are whoever God chooses to meet your need. It could be some of those people you've forgiven. In context here. It could be the raven. Could be the brook. He says, given it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap. They. So watch this. God's abundant giving means that he's not limited. It is whoever God chooses to meet your need, and God will use them as a channel, ready, to be need meters. Say it one more time. God has need meters out here. Are you following me? Folk that you can call and they'll show up for you. Folk that you don't have to call. You know what? I was just thinking about you. You know what? I'm going to bless you. You know what? God's been so good to me. You know what? I got enough. I got more. You know, God puts it on people's hearts. Jesus continued to say this. This is Jesus talking. What did he say? He says, they will pour into your what? A good what? What did he say? Press down. Tell your neighbor God's abundance. Running over. To understand what Jesus is talking about, you need to think agriculturally. In the New Testament, when a person would go to a merchant, they would bring a bag. They will fill the bag to the top, but it wasn't over yet. And in order to get, depends on the merchant, they had to shake it. So that it can get into the creases. You know why? Because God despises unjust balances. Let me bring it in today's term for you. In other words, God don't like fraud. But he says, if you give to your need, I will find me a what I call them? Need meter. And guess what I'm going to do? They are going to actually not just give you enough, but give you more than enough, because I've supplied them with more than enough. The merchant would press it down, and what he's doing is he was creating room for more. Tell your neighbor more. You see, Jesus used this common practice to illustrate, you know what he's illustrating? The abundance of God's giving. And he took another step, though. This is what he said. Look what he says. He took another step by saying, when God pours into your sack, he does so until it runs over. God says, when you plant a seed, I'm done. He uses they. That what you gave, he now creates room for more. This excites me. This excites me because it's write this down. Last thing I want to give you. I'm done. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. Write this down. The secret of blessing. He brings that point home. Next week I'll talk to you about the secret of blessings. Okay? He brings it home. He brings it home. He says the problem is when we get our needs met without planting seeds, we're going to always have a want. I ain't got to tell you to tithe off your income tax. I ain't got to tell you that. I got to tell you to sow seeds either. Here's what I'm saying. Don't just take offering time as a time where you in your mind thinking about stuff like, this is all I got. I want you to go in the other pocket. But you have to say, what need do you have? I have several needs right now. And that's what I've been doing all week. And I believe the enemy wants to attack me on it. Because I'm sowing. There's a season to sow. And there's a season to harvest. We're going to deal with harvest next week. Week after, maybe. But the point is, we're slow walking through this thing. Because once you understand it,